Assalamu alaikum, peace be on you, and welcome to another episode of Faith in Focus here on the Voice of Islam Radio, where we explore matters of faith in the context of modern society. I'm your host, Alina Ahmed, and today we will be discussing obedience to parents, especially in the light of the faith of Islam. Islam has given great emphasis on respect, love, and obedience to parents. Unlike some other religions, Islam categorically instructs its followers to abide by and respect parents in everything, apart from when they ask for something contrary to the faith of Islam. If we look at the psychology of a parent and child, we know that if a child is not given any boundaries, then the child is likely to eventually go off track and do whatever he or she wants. This is consistent across both Western and Eastern societies. Just as science is all based on experience through trial and error, general knowledge about how to best live our lives. For example, what has good consequences and what has bad is always based on experience. If we apply the same principle to that of a parent who has lived for, say, 40 years and has had 40 years of experience of life, then it is obvious their life experience is better than, for example, that of a 15-year-old. This is one of the many reasons why Islam has put great emphasis on obedience to parents. In most cases, the parents will only want what's best for the child, which is a natural feeling every parent has, and which Islam affirms as right. Before we dive deeper into this subject, I'd like to introduce our studio guests who have been kind enough to join our discussion today. I have with me in the studio Tuba Noor and Atiya Bhatt. Tuba has a biomedical sciences degree and is a practicing genetic technologist, and Atiya has a master's in biotechnology and is working as a multilingual medical information specialist. Assalamu alaikum both, peace be on you both, and welcome to this episode of Faith in Focus.
Wa alaikum salam, thank you for having me.
Wa alaikum salam.
Now beforehand, I touched upon Islam's emphasis on respecting and remaining obedient to our parents. This is evident in the Holy Quran, the scripture of Islam. Allah the Almighty says in the Holy Quran, and I quote, "Thy Lord has commanded, worship none but him and show kindness to parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age with thee, never say unto them any word expressive of disgust, nor reproach them, but address them with kind words. And lower to them the wing of humility out of tenderness, and say, My Lord, have mercy on them, even as they nourished me in my childhood." Chapter 17, verses 24 to 25. This verse speaks of the significance of our behaviour towards our parents. Islam teaches that in response to one's parents, not even a mild expression of disgust or disapproval should pass one's lips. When we're younger, material things are often glamorized, and it can be disheartening when our parents warn us from potentially harmful activities. In most cases, however, the truth is that they're simply trying to protect us by keeping us on the right path, something we might not realize till we reach adulthood ourselves. So the first question I would like to put forward to our guests is, do you feel a difference in culture has an effect on our treatment of our parents, in comparison to those who have been raised in a more Western culture? If I may come to you first, Atiya.
As you beautifully introduced, Islam clearly states to treat our parents with utmost respect and even nurture them like they did us when we were younger, and really continue even when we reach adulthood. Personally speaking, my parents and parents of many I know migrated to Western countries, or secular countries may be a more appropriate word given the topic of conversation. So coming from this perspective, I think it is often felt that parents who have migrated from Islamic countries, the line between their cultural and religious practices can be quite thin. What I mean to say is that, for example, the Islamic teachings on treatment and respect of parents is well integrated in the culture they grew up in, perhaps as compared to the liberal ways practiced in Western countries. A simple example is, in often cases, parents raised in Eastern culture would not dream of disagreeing or correcting an elder to their face, meaning that even if they were to disagree, they would not voice it to the elder. As opposed to this, the independence introduced early in children of Western countries, children are taught to say no. Within this no, Children are also taught to speak their mind, give opinion, and show disagreement if there is any. This is not to say that children or people who discuss or disagree with their parents equates to them treating their parents badly or that they're disrespectful, but it can be perceived so by those who have been raised in a very structured way. I would like to touch upon the caretaking of elder parents in adulthood, as this is also a clear difference I feel in peers raised by Western parents. The system in Western countries is built in a way that makes people comfortable in letting society take care of their parents in old age. Whereas, for those of us raised in a mixed culture, so to say, do not see this as a possibility even. In a lot of our cases, we could not dream of dropping our parents off at a retirement home or for them to be taken care of by strangers. One thing that comes to mind behind this mindset is that the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that paradise lies under the feet of our mothers, which is an integral part of upbringing in a Muslim environment. So this spiritual aspect guides and impacts our treatment of parents, mothers in particular.
Can I have your thoughts on the same question, Dubanur?
Yes, I completely agree with Atiya here. I think that it all depends on the values we learn growing up. So if your parents have learned the importance of family and respect, then they will likely pass it on to you and incorporate the gravity of that into you too. You know, the Western culture is very individualistic, and I'm not going to generalize that for everyone. I have met many families here which are tightly knit, and their children respect their parents more than anything. And on the flip side, I have also met families who belong to Eastern countries and traditionally respect their parents, and they have distance between each other. So I think it's mostly related to how you have been raised and what you have been taught to appreciate early on. If one places a lot of effort on building their relationships and is willing to put in that work every day, then it's very easy to carry that on as you age alongside your parents. And I think for us, obedience does not equate to submission. It means that we express our gratitude to our parents and also trust in their wisdom. And the experiences that our parents have gone through have taught them so much that it's only reasonable to rely on their judgment and give them their due respect. In the East, overall societal values tend to include group harmony and interpersonal cooperation and responsibility, and that can sometimes clash with what we have generally seen in the Western families. So to change that mindset successfully in the West, I think effort needs to be put from both sides. Your parents have brought you into this world, they raised you, and have been there for you in every moment of your life. And those moments mean a lot to a child. So if those moments are filled with respect and love, the child would automatically want to spend time with their parents and be also aware of the sheer importance of that. I'm from Pakistan, and growing up, I saw how much my parents respected their own parents. It was integral for us to practice that, and it never felt like an obligation. It came very naturally, and honestly, it made a lot of sense as well. My parents also taught me to respect my teachers in school and told me pretty often how even they deserve the respect and admiration. And I see that it can be very rare here in the West. Mostly parents live with their children as they reach old age in the East, and to take care of them in that state is a beautiful thing, in my opinion. So in the West, that is not the norm, and people traditionally leave home very early on to find their purpose in life. So it's clearly a contrast, and we link it to our culture. And also if one is practicing their faith, and I'm talking about the Islamic faith here specifically, then there are countless instructions, which you have also mentioned in your program, that tell us to value our parents highly, then yes, one would put that above everything else. While we all agree that parenting is a very complex and challenging thing, not everyone is willing to appreciate their parents in exchange, which is very unfortunate.
Thank you. Some interesting and thoughtful perspectives there. I think culture has played an immense role in our upbringing, especially in comparison to our parents and elders. It is narrated that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, said, "Allah postpones the punishments for one's sins till the day of judgment, if he so desires, but he awards the punishment for disobeying the parent during this life before his death." This alone is a powerful message for us, as Allah the Almighty has placed such emphasis on the treatment of our parents that any ill behaviour is reprimanded in our current life. Islam has given guidance on the treatment of both mothers and fathers. Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that once a person came to the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, and asked, O Messenger of Allah, who has the most right to the best treatment from me? The Holy Prophet replied, Your mother. The man asked, Then who? And the Holy Prophet said, Your mother. When he repeated this question for the fourth time, he was told, Your father. This narration itself is a prime example of how important it is to be kind and respectful to our mothers. It is further told by the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, that paradise lies under the feet of mothers. It is clear that the responsibility for the spiritual and moral development of children has been assigned to mothers because they have the greatest influence on them. Mothers not only provide the guidance that will lead their children to paradise, but also provide an example of the best conduct for their children through their actions. The second question I would like to pose to my guests is, do you feel that there is a change in the status parents are given in today's modern society? And reflecting on older practices and teachings, is there a difference to when our parents were growing up?
Well, from what I have personally seen and heard from my parents, yes, I think it's very different to how people see their parents nowadays versus how it used to be. I think more value was placed on the family unit in general, and that has decreased exponentially as time has gone on. I would agree with this point of independence and the fact that there is a lot of societal pressure to act in a certain way. Often people will tell you to leave your parents' house as soon as possible and even shame you if you're living with them after graduating from college, for example. So parents are not given that proper respect by society at large, and this narrative needs changing. Even in media representations, you'll see how there is a specific narrative around living with parents after a certain age and how that is considered bad, as if it strips your individuality. That is just one example of how people's mindsets have changed over time. The society in general around us is a mirror of our current family unit, so it's very individualistic. And there is less appreciation of communion, and even between fathers and sons or mothers and daughters, there's a certain competition or divide that didn't exist before. Also, I think on the flip side, we need to see how much time parents are spending with their children growing up now as well. The world itself is becoming busier, and men, women both are becoming more financially independent, which means that more and more parents are choosing to work, and that can start pretty early on. And it's getting more common for mothers to do that as well, and that is not a bad thing at all. But it's also very different to what it used to be, the norm a few decades back. So a child and their attachment to their parents can vary for so many reasons, and in my opinion, this is also a very big reason. Also, I think there's a huge amount of pressures on parents today because due to so much information, it's early access. A lot of children grow up and choose to question their parents and the way they were brought up. Of course, every family and parent-child dynamic is different. And if a parent was failing at basic things and creating traumas for a child, then that is an entirely different thing. But one has to see that every parent is mostly trying their best. No parent is perfect, and it's a good thing to remember that.
I also agree there is a vast difference in the status of parents nowadays. Again, coming from a religious perspective, in addition to the tradition mentioned earlier, the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also said, and I quote, "The pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of father, and displeasure of Allah lies in the displeasure of father." This confirms the high esteem in Islam of both mothers and fathers. I think modern society may encourage us to not seek anyone else's pleasure but our own. It certainly appears that most of the time, it is a case of as long as you're happy, that is all that matters. Conversely, I think when our parents were growing up, their goals included stabilizing so they could take care of their family, including their parents. The Western world provides us the bonus of a social welfare system that allows a level of welfare even if there is no one to take care or provide for you. This means that the more traditional thinking of taking care and providing for one's parents in most cases is now a choice and not a necessity, as there is a safety net. With the many positives of a modern welfare system comes the option of living life for just yourself. Within it, the traditional family system can be challenged, and at times our careers and financial goals take precedence over our families. This was unheard of when, for example, my father was younger. Everything he has ever done has been for the good of his family. Till this day, even though all his kids have moved out and started their own lives, he is hard at work because dad is all he knows and has learned, living his life for God and his family. So I think as Muslims, and while abiding by my religious teachings, while some of us hold our parents in very high esteem, we also move around in a society in which this is not a high priority, and is sadly quite often the reverse case. Sometimes we may even fall victim to this, or sometimes we may only give our parents time so they are not angry with us, completely forgetting that as adults we are responsible for their emotions and mental health. Parents' mental health and emotional caretaking is a whole other but equally important subject.
I think it is important to note that the fact that there are so many examples in Islam which relate to respecting our parents serves to really show its importance, especially in comparison to other ideologies. So much so that our duty to our parents does not simply stop when they pass away. A man once asked the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, do I owe a duty to my parents after their death? To which he replied, indeed yes, in four respects. One, that you should pray for Allah's forgiveness for them and call down his blessings upon them. Two, that you should carry out whatever they undertook to do. Three, that you should honour their friends. And four, that you should strengthen the ties of kinship with those who are related to you through them. This is what you owe them after their death. It is evident that parents have a high status in Islam, which remains even after their death. It is narrated that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, said that though when a person died, his or her period of activity was over, there were three things which would continue benefiting the person even after death. For example, the good works of his or her children continue to do on his or her behalf, and his or her righteous children who pray to Allah for his or her deliverance and forgiveness. I would like to read an extract from a book of the Promised Messiah, peace be on him, the founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. The extract is, of course, about the status of parents in Islam. He wrote, and I quote, quite like the idiom of the entire Holy Quran, where most of the commands and prohibitions are apparently addressed to the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be on him. But others are also addressed in these commandments, or such as commandments are exclusively meant for others, as is this verse. Never say unto your parents any expressive word of ennui, and do not say to them such things as lack regard for their esteem. The addressee of this verse is the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. But this commandment is in fact directed towards the Ummah, because the father and the mother of the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had passed away when he was very young. This commandment also contains a point to ponder, namely that the sensible person can appreciate from this verse that if the commandment is addressed to the Holy Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, admonishing him to respect his parents and pay due regard to their exalted station in all conversation, how much respect others need to show towards their parents. This is what another verse points to. That your Lord has ordained that you should worship only him and show benevolence towards parents. In this verse, the idolaters who worship idols are admonished thus. Idols are nothing and idols have done no favour to you. They did not create you, nor did they provide for you in your tender age. Had God permitted the worship of anyone other than himself, he would have enjoined that you should worship parents too. For figuratively speaking, they are also sustainers, and everyone, even beasts and grazing animals, protect their offspring in their tender years. Thus, after God's sustaining lordship, they also play their role in nurturing, and this impulse to nurture again is from God. End quote. In a 2004 Friday sermon, His Holiness Mirza Masroor Ahmed, may Allah be his helper, current worldwide of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, stressed the importance of unconditional obedience to parents, emphasizing the sacrifices they endure and the physical hardship they, in particular, the mother, bears in bringing up children. Islam provides a general rule of obedience, but we can also find instances where the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, has in fact given instructions to believers not to listen to their parents. For example, if parents encourage their children in ways which would lead them astray from religion. Before we take a short break, Atiyah and Tuba Noor, would you mind sharing your experiences with an instance in which culture overlaps with religion concerning obedience to parents?
Yeah, so associating partners with God is strictly prohibited in Islam. But even so, as you perfectly reiterated, the promised Messiah, peace be on him, said that if God was ever to allow worship anyone but himself, that would be parents, and I think that speaks to the unmatchable status of parents, which is only second to God. Also, as said before, the importance of parents, and especially mothers, is evident in all teachings of Islam. And as you just mentioned, Alina, the sermon from 2004 by our dear Caliph was an excellent exposition of this. Just as you mentioned, in Islam, believers are told to make an exception and not listen to their parents when and if they discourage from the right path of faith. Along these lines, I would like to mention this discouragement can also stem from parents not answering questions about faith or religion that children ask. Our Caliph, may Allah be his helper, has on many occasions emphasized not to silence children and to answer the questions they raise with patience and accuracy. In the home culture I grew up in, it was allowed to ask questions and healthy discussion was even encouraged. Being brought up in Denmark, naturally many of the things practiced or taught at home were not those discussed in school or practiced in the general society. This societal and cultural paradox can bring about a certain confusion and at times even admiration for those who do whatever they like without repercussions. In order to avoid this, I feel it is essential to not fall victim to cultures that do not allow open conversation and discussion.
Tuba Noor, your thoughts?
I think a lot of things overlap in culture and religion, but what I can think of first is the way we communicate with our parents. I think the culture that I belong to places a high value on being polite and respectful with the way we talk to our parents. In Islam, there are many teachings that tell you to do the same thing and even more. For example, and Alina quoted these verses earlier in the show that I would like to again cite. Allah states in the Holy Quran, chapter 17, verses 24 and 25, and I quote, "Thy Lord has commanded, worship none but him and show kindness to parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age with thee, never say unto them any word expressive of disgust, nor reproach them, but address them with kind words, and lower to them the wing of humility out of tenderness, and say, My Lord, have mercy on them, even as they nourished me in my childhood." End quote. So the words being used here are so beautiful. We need to be mindful enough to know how we are speaking to our parents, and not let our emotions affect that. If you move somewhere where the culture is not similar, I think you should prioritize what your faith has taught you. In this instance, I think many cultures around the world demonstrate that parents need to be spoken to respectfully. They have raised us and cultivated many qualities in us, and speaking gently to them should always be our priority.
Thank you for that. Yes, I think it's very difficult to imagine that our parents would offer advice with negative consequences, which is why Islam also gives such precedence and importance to parents on raising their children with good morals and values. His Holiness, Mirza Masroor Ahmed, may Allah be his helper, has also stated that another element that helps the process of self-reformation is the environment one is surrounded by and the tendency among young children to follow the ways of their elders. The same phenomenon helps man learn from his parents their language and morals. If parents are righteous, the children too, under the pious influence of their parents, will become pious and righteous. However, if a child finds his parents quarrelsome or witnesses other evils at home or in society, he or she too begins to adopt the same morals. Self-reformation refers to the act or process of amending one's character or habits. When we are younger, it is a lot easier to break habits as they aren't so deeply entrenched. But as time passes, they become a part of us. And so it becomes very difficult to change our mindset. Due to this, Islam provides a tremendous amount of guidance on how we should be raised and how our parents can instill good virtues in us. Well, it has certainly been an interesting discussion thus far. Thank you so much, Duba Noor and Atiyah, for being part of our programme today, here on the Voice of Islam Radio, where we've been exploring obedience to parents. I look forward to furthering our discussion following our break.
You are listening to Faith in Focus. Caliph of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, His Holiness Mirza Musroor Ahmad, has said, "Unquestionably, it is a mother who cares and nourishes her child more than any other person. In return, it is the duty of a child to love his mother and to serve her." Allah.
You're listening to the Voice of Islam Radio, broadcasting on DAB and via the internet 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Faith in Focus here on the Voice of Islam Radio, where today our topic of focus is obedience to parents, and joining me are Duba Noor and Atiyah. Now, before our break, we had discussed the importance and emphasis Islam has laid on obedience to parents and their status in relation to the effect which living in a fast-paced modern society has had on these values. A study by the World Values Survey at King's College London has shown that Britons place less importance on instilling obedience in children than most other countries in the survey, a decline which began in the 1990s. Instead, they increasingly value hard work, independence, and imagination. The study took the data from 24 countries, and Britain was ranked 20th for obedience and 23rd for responsibility, in regards to qualities that children should be taught. The UK was among the countries at the top of the table for placing a high importance on teaching children to be unselfish, to have an imagination, and to have good manners. Professor Bobby Duffy, the director of the Policy Institute at King's College London, who led the study, said the results are important signals of what we value as a society and reflect a cultural shift in the UK and many richer countries away from a focus on security values to self-expression. We can clearly see in our society what is and isn't considered to be of moral importance, as children these days are encouraged to discover and express themselves in any form that is comfortable to them. And whilst it can be refreshing to see a child explore their boundaries, it can also be worrying, as a lot of values and morals are lost as lines become blurred. It was further mentioned in the study that while all generations value obedience less than in the past, those from Gen Z, born between 1997 and 2013, care less about good manners and unselfishness than those of older generations. When researching this topic, it was interesting to see that there have been many studies conducted from a Western perspective. I grew up in a South Asian household with very strong morals and faith, and I was also exposed firsthand to Western society and its ideals. At times, it was hard to navigate through that because the separate values of both felt in opposition to each other. Naturally, at a young age, the glamours of society intrigued me, but at home I was taught the opposite to what they represented. Although I am now thankful that I was raised with such strong values, at the time I felt my parents were depriving me of certain experiences and cultures, which I can now see would have been damaging to me. At the end, Duba Noor, what was it like for you growing up? Do you look back now and see how your parents raised you and the benefit of maintaining our religious teachings?
So my mother is a teacher and has always applied and even taught us that with the many opportunities present in the Western world comes the requirement of great caution. The worldly possibilities paved the way for a very self-centered lifestyle for which it is necessary for parents to work extra hard to reverse the mindset that we may pick up from around us. Growing up, especially when deciding what to study in university, my mother said that I could study whatever I like, but if I don't come out on the other side a better and humbler person, that education has no real significance. I grew up in a home with congregational prayers and coming together as a family to gather money for good causes. My father is known for saying, "Allah will make a way." For any problem, my elder siblings or I express to him, and we even physically always see our parents fervently pray for us. This cemented a sense of keeping God first in all matters in us, and to never do anything that would go against the teachings of Islam and disappointing God. It instilled a fear of God's disappointment and displeasure. An example from my childhood is the confusion that followed when my teacher asked me to look her in the eye when she was correcting me, whereas at home, I only knew to look downwards, you know, with lowered eyes, out of respect when spoken to by a parent, especially in admonishing circumstances. Most definitely, I would agree with you. There were times of feeling certain levels of deprivation, but in hindsight, none of those things would serve my life now. If we are to compare ourselves with our parents, I think we had way more opportunities to express ourselves and participate in things they were not necessarily offered. A typical example I use to describe the devotion of Ahmadiyya Muslim community is how we come together during Jalsa Salana, our annual conventions. We've grown up seeing how members put aside their worldly matters for 3 days and praise God side by side. Doctors and engineers, as well as teachers and academics, will take on duties such as keeping the toilets clean or collecting trash. As a child, I and many of us would walk around the different marquees of the event and hand out drinking water. To me, this is an integral part of forming us, and it teaches us that we should always prioritize God and His creation. Finally, specifically about obedience, I think obedience requires a certain level of selflessness. And with society being so fast-paced and competitive, the survey you presented does not surprise me at all. We are always so worried about the next thing that if we are not self-aware, we may forget that there are people around us with their own lives and problems. Being obedient to any authority, including parents, paves the way to a good sense of accountability, and when we are accountable for our actions, we become more careful with them.
My parents have seen their fair share of hardships, and growing up, I have always, you know, enjoyed a certain kind of trust from them. Both of them are religious, and growing up, our faith was the epicenter of our lives, and yet I never felt that I was being forced into doing something. I would like to believe that my parents never stopped us from asking questions. I have always had this curiosity about things and have had questions about many things, and I've always been met with patience and understanding from them. Mm-hmm. My questions were always welcomed and even encouraged. I always sit with my father and have long discussions about these topics, and I never felt like any hesitation, so I am indebted to them for developing this. My siblings and I, we were never shunned from following our passions, and there's always room for friendship in our relationships, which I'm very thankful for. I think what struck me the most growing up is their resilience, and above everything else, their complete and absolute faith in Allah. Both of my parents have always told me to have faith in Allah, and I've always seen them practice that in their own lives. So seeing that growing up was so vital, because now that I have reached my adulthood, I have intense faith in Allah and how He can perform miracles for His creation time and time again. Our parents didn't have as many luxuries or opportunities that we have now. And I'm very thankful, yet also very mindful. I think every child has a different dynamic to their parents. But as my life is going through different stages, I try to remember how much they have sacrificed to bring me here. Even in times of difficulty, we have to give each other that space and compassion to grow together and even age together, which is a big privilege. Like Atiya here, my parents used to take us to prayers and took time out for religious gatherings. My mother has observed hijab all her life, and as I was growing up, I used to see her wear her usual head veil every time she used to go out, and it was a beautiful ritual to me. Again, my parents never gave me this idea that I was being forced to do it. As well, when my own time came, they sat me down and explained the jurisprudence to me and made me aware of how it can benefit my life. So I had no issues adapting that into my life, and I also appreciate how it was never forced on me. I saw the benefits of practicing it every day, and I'm going to continue to do that in my life. There are countless examples like that which I can share with you, but I think at the very center of it is my deep appreciation for my parents. and the fact that they apply very subtle and respectful ways to parent us even now.
Thank you both. Whilst we live in the West, and as such are a part of a Western society, it is also interesting to see how maintaining our own religious values and cultural identity allows us to see things from a different perspective, and leads us to find gratitude for our parents' efforts. The Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, stated, "He who serves the ties of kinship will not enter paradise." It was also narrated that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, said that the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of one's father. Both of these narrations highlight how vital it is to treat our parents in good faith, and in turn we will attain Allah the Almighty's pleasure. In today's materialistic world, obedience to Allah the Almighty is sadly all too often looked upon as figurative, preached but sadly not always practiced. On close study of the Holy Quran and the life of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be on him, it becomes clear that an important form of obedience is to one's parents, which hopefully would lead to obedience of Allah. The mercy, kindness, and nurturing we receive from our parents amounts to such a unique love and sacrifice that we would never be able to repay. In relation to this, Allah the Almighty says in the Holy Quran in chapter 31, verse 15, "And we have enjoined on man concerning his parents. His mother bears him in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning takes 2 years. Give thanks to me and to thy parents. Unto me is the final return." With that in mind, Tuba Noor, how would you advise us in maintaining a balance, retaining what our religion and culture has taught us in instilling good virtues, whilst keeping in mind both the negative and positives of Western culture?
I think that living in the West can make it hard for people to give enough time to their parents or even make them their priority in the long run, which is very unfortunate. I think that it's good to remember every day how much we have achieved in our respective lives and how much of it can be linked back to our parents. And if we start counting, almost everything goes back to them. They are our primary caregivers and they taught us all we know. Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, once told a very interesting anecdote to his companions about three persons. According to him, the three persons were once traveling when heavy rain began to fall. They took shelter in a cave. Incidentally, a big stone came hurtling down and blocked the opening of the cave. All the three travelers lost the hope of their survival. One of them told the rest not to lose hope and prayed to Almighty Allah by describing the most virtuous deed of their lives, for enabling them to get out of the cave. One of them, addressing Almighty Allah, submitted that he had old parents and several small children. When he would come back home after grazing the goats, he would first offer the milk to his old parents and then to his children. Once when he came home quite late, his parents were asleep. He milked the goats as usual and, taking the cup of milk, went to his old parents but did not disturb their sleep. The whole night he stood near his parents to give them milk whenever they got up. He prayed to Allah to enable them to come out of the cave. Allah was pleased with this act of the man and the stone moved a little. Similarly, after the other two related their tales, the stone fully moved, and they were able to come out of the cave. So, from these traditions or ahadith alone, we can gather how much importance is placed on treating our parents fairly and with love. Allah blesses us with many rewards when we prioritize our parents, because ultimately we are fulfilling His commandments, and that is the most important thing of all. When we are faced with times where we can't do enough for our parents or even take enough time out for them, I think it's very helpful to try and remember these teachings so we can put all the other distractions aside and create a healthy balance. There's a lot of focus these days on developing healthy family dynamics and how our mental health plays a great role. I think keeping our own emotions in check and analyzing them can also help us to see how well we are treating people around us, and that includes our parents too.
Thank you for that. If I may come to you with the same question, Athiya?
Drawing from one of the many reminders my parents frequently use, which is to make sure to save up enough in our bank of prayers to make withdrawals in all stages of life. This, in essence, means striving to maintain a relationship with God, and on a worldly human level, maintaining a relationship with His Holiness, our Caliph or Khalifa, Hazrat Mirza Masroor Ahmad, may Allah be his helper. frequently writing to him and listening to the many available speeches, sermons, and Q&As available online, one comes to discover that without the Khalifa conveying the word of God, there is no way one can maintain a balance in life. As is quite common, remembrance of God can seem insignificant in times where life is good or easy, but this is really when we have the opportunity to top up on our prayer bank, because we will need it eventually. Culturally, all of us in here have most likely grown up in a very hospitable environment, and also as Muslims, it is our responsibility to care for our neighbors, loved ones, and even the friends of our parents. What you said about obedience to parents leading to obedience to God is really a beautiful way to underline that our parents have rights and we should strive to fulfill those. The fulfillment of prayers tend to travel for generations, and when I talk to my parents about a spiritual or worldly achievement of mine, they will sometimes tell an anecdote about their parents or grandparents who had prayed for their children or descendants to achieve just that. I think balance of all kinds is required in order to maintain good mental health. I think women that came before us, or the generation before us, is one of the most hardworking women and mothers. If we take women that migrated from Eastern countries to the West 35 to 50 years ago, we see that there are really no limits to how many things they or we can take on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can be tempted to think that I will postpone the morning prayer because my day ended late. But that would never be the case for my mother or grandmother. Not to say that they do not struggle in maintaining their spirituality, as spirituality can be like wavelengths, sometimes strong and sometimes weaker. But the women before us balanced all these things, and the result of that is the three of us sitting here talking about how to keep faith in focus. Mm-hmm. Many people think that if one turns to God, it is impossible to reach one's worldly goals, and some may even think that people who prioritize their faith are outdated and cannot integrate into modern society. Our Khalifa, or Caliph, His Holiness Mirza Masroor Ahmad, may Allah be his helper, does not only convey the religious message of Islam, but he also encourages physical activity for people of all ages, another essential balance. I have come to learn that with all things considered, if one is to keep remembrance of our Creator and being thankful to Him and fulfill the rights of His creation, such as our parents, life becomes worth living in a different way. Not to say that I do not falter. I most definitely do. Much like a balance sometimes falls to one side. But then I try to remember when I used to wake up for school with the satisfaction that I had already been up in the early hours to offer my morning prayer. In relation to prayer and being grateful, trying to understand what the body of a mother carrying a child has to go through should be one of the factors that would humble us. As quoted from the Holy Quran, essentially our mothers do not have an off day. When they were carrying us through the good and the bad days, and essentially we were the priority. Then when we were born, our mothers kept us physically close for another 2 years for feeding and nurturing. And research often talks about how critical these first few years of a child's life are. And so, God commands to thank both Him and our parents, especially our mothers.
Some insightful and great points there from you both, Duba Noor and Atiya. I have enjoyed your thoughts and views, especially as you also kindly shared your personal experiences to help us understand better what Islam says on obedience to parents. I am glad we have had the opportunity to come together and talk about it, but I am afraid this is all we have time for today and our discussion. As wonderful as it has been, it comes to an end now. Thank you both, Duba Noor and Atiya. On the 23rd of April 2010, His Holiness, may Allah be His helper, gave his Friday sermon from Switzerland regarding the moral training of the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, and especially the younger generations. He explained in detail different moral ills in various societies, and especially the moral ills created in Western societies by the latest technology. He stated, and I will quote, "Sometimes one's children go against the word of God, which is a type of shirk, which means associating partners with Allah, disobeying a clear commandment of Allah, the Exalted, so that one may agree with the demands of the children is a covert shirk. Such matters make one forget Allah the Exalted. Some people have distanced themselves from Ahmadiyyat because of their children. When excessive love for children and freedom given to children made the children leave the faith, the parents themselves left the faith. End quote. Earlier this year, His Holiness gave beautiful guidance on when parents get old and infirm. He said, and I quote, "We should properly look after our parents. So these are the rights that we must fulfill, and this is what the society also demands. Parents should train their children in a way that they say to them that, now that you are married, we are separating you in your youth for your sake, or you are living separately now yourselves, and that is fine. However, when we become old, you should fulfill your responsibilities to us and come to our help if we need you. We firstly pray that we do not need your help in our old age, and Allah protects us from being dependent on you." End quote. I think this is a good ending point in our discussion. As we've discussed, most parents simply want the best for their child. And in the cases in which a parent advocates actions which would lead their child to go astray, Islam has permitted one to not follow through with their advice concerning obedience. There are also many examples in modern society where unfortunately parents are forced into going alone with their children's different ideologies in order to avoid creating tension at home. This is, of course, more unusual than not, but from the aforementioned verse, it should be clear to us that our job as children is to not only maintain respect and kindness for our parents, but also to make sure we are not causing them extra problems that in turn will collect sins for them too. Once again, I'd like to give a huge thank you to our guests, Duba Noor and Atiyah Butt, for joining me today in the studio and participating in this discussion.
Thank you for having us.
Zakla.
I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I've been your host, Alina Ahmed, and this has been another episode of Faith in Focus on Voice of Islam Radio, produced by Mrs. Shamin Butt. Please join us again next time for more discussions on matters relating to women, religion, and society. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on you.